76, the case 7, number 76. Which you need a pointer and case.
Cold is icy frost. It blocks off heaven and earth and goes beyond light and dark. Observe it where it's low and there's extra. Level it off where it's high and there's not enough. Holding fast and letting go are both here. But is there a way to appear or not? To test, I'm citing this old case. Look.
Once more again, please. Slowly.
Fine as rice powder, cold as icy frost. It blocks off heaven and earth and goes beyond light and dark. Observe it where it's low and there's extra. Level it off where it's high and there's not enough. Holding fast and letting go are both here. But is there a way to appear or not? To test, I'm citing this old case. Look.
Case, please.
Case. Tan Xia asked a monk, where have you come from? The monk said, from down the mountain. Xia said, have you eaten yet or not? The monk said, I have eaten. Xia said, did the person who brought you the food to eat have eyes or not? The monk was speechless. Chang Qing asked Pao Fu, to give someone food to eat is ample requital of the debt of kindness. Why wouldn't he have eyes? Fu said, giver and receiver are both blind. Chang Qing said, if they exhausted their activity, would they still turn out blind? Fu said, can you say that I'm blind?
Fine as rice powder, cold as icy frost. It blocks off heaven and earth and goes beyond light and dark. Fine as rice powder, cold as icy frost. This is the implication of the characteristic of the Absolute. Absolute is nothing but the real reality where we live. So the characteristic of the Absolute where we live from moment to moment is they backed by 2 points. One is fine as rice powder. Second is cold as icy frost. Fine as rice powder means the absolute or the truth is so vast that nothing run afoul if the OUL run afoul of your hands or your thoughts. It's very smooth. It is very smooth. There is nothing to touch it, nothing to fork it, nothing to be hooked by anything. It's completely smooth. That is the 1 point. Second is a cold as icy frost. That's smooth, very smooth water of the Absolute has great powerful energy to what to say, to melt away anything. In other words, icy frost means it doesn't show reaction, any reaction to external world. So that is so what to say in the cold as icy frost means usually we are really infatuated with our lives, particularly in a favorable circumstances, because we like very much, and also if you don't like it, you are also infatuated with the dislike. So whatever, usually in our usual lifestyle, we are always infatuated with external world or internal world. Always that means attachment, really attachment. But according to the second characteristic of absolute, so-called cold as icy frost, means whatever comes to us, okay, from external world, you can digest it very smoothly. That is really continuation of practice forever. There is no particular development you can believe anyway. Always you have to repeat same practice every day, because external world is always changing. Okay? So, always digest all things coming from external world in favorable conditions. Okay? Favorable conditions. But usually in a favorable condition, we are infatuated. We really like very much to devote ourselves to take care of good teacher. Nobody wants to take care of bad teacher or bad friends, etc. Okay? So we love so much only favorable conditions. But we cannot escape unfavorable conditions. But anyway, we do always like this. Okay? So, if I say, anyway, in favorable condition, anyway, we have to digest very smoothly, as soon as possible, okay, without stop, without making a water stagnant. Okay? Usually our bowel doesn't work. So anyway, this is our practice. Constantly we have to digest many things coming from the external world to you. Okay. Without making water stagnant even for a moment. This is our practice. Okay. This is called icy, the cold icy as icy frost in the koan. In the koan, I think it says I think you know pretty well this coin, the old woman took care of a young monk for 20 years in her hut. So she took care of him, building the hut in far from the village, and anyway. And then this monk had been practicing for 20 years by himself. So one day she wanted to test how much his practice had been progressed. Then she asked her daughter to visit his hut and, what to say, hugged him. Yeah, I forgot the exact statement, but anyway, do you understand that thing? The old woman, anyway, sent her daughter to see the monk and try to hug him anyway. And then she went there, and then she hugged him. And then at that time, this monk says, a dead tree leaning against an ice rock, no warmth for the 3 winter months. Warmth, W-A-R-M-T-H. A dead tree leaning against an ice rock, no warmth for the 3 winter months. And then the daughter went back to old woman and told this story. And then the old woman was really mad at him, saying his practice hadn't been mature enough. Not enough. So she burned his hut and kicked him out. So this monk, in the story, how this monk left, it doesn't say at all. Anyway, old woman burned out his hut, and naturally he cannot stay anyway. So he had to be anyway kicked out. He has to leave. But this story, I think many people misunderstand this point. So this monk says, a dead tree leaning on ice rock, no warmth for the 3 winter months, means it is not cold, real cold. Of course, immediately monks accepted anyway this daughter. But still, he is not moved. His mind is not, nothing ruffled him. So that means, completely in favor of condition, he digested all things coming from external world. Then next, unfavorable circumstances happen to appear, means she burned out the hut and kicked him out. Well, but he left. But this is that story doesn't say anything about his leaving, departure. But his departure is very important behind this story. Because in unfavorable circumstances, he left very quietly because nothing, no story after that means he left, just he left. Anyway. So even in the unfavorable condition, anyway, he finds the total picture of the absolute, which is fine as rice powder. So nothing to be hooked by any his senses, sadness, pleased, nothing. So all he has to do is to leave in peace, in harmony. We can very easily devote ourselves, merge ourselves into circumstances, favorable circumstances. But this is all right. But what happens when you see unfavorable conditions? In other words, if you are fired, or whole circumstances completely upside down, what do? It is unfavorable condition, which you have never expected. What do? Most people completely become crazy. But this is not real way to live, because reality has both simultaneously. Reality is completely vast, very vast, so vast that nothing ruffles you, ruffles circumstances, ruffles your living, reality where you live, nothing. So that's why he says, both, holding fast, letting go, are both here, both simultaneously, fine as rice powder, cold as ice frost, both exist simultaneously in your reality. So what do? So if we say it is easy to do zazen under favorable condition, fine. But you cannot ignore unfavorable condition. It's coming up completely beyond your speculation. Even though you believe it is good teacher, I don't think it is. There is no guarantee anyway. What do? This is really big call for us. What do? When you see unfavorable circumstances, 2 years ago I went back to Japan to practice under the guidance of Noiri Roshi. At that time there are 10 monks, not all the monks, but almost at the high level monks, pretty good monks anyway. 10 monks and anyway practice under him for 2 weeks anyway. At that time he gave a talk about the Dharma transmission and teacher and disciple, how the disciple takes care of teacher and etc. He explains the philosophical background and also religious sense. And one of the monks, and one of the attendants, has a teacher who is not sharp, but it's not stupid, but he is pretty dull in a sense. So probably he makes complaints about his teachers, but Noiri Roshi didn't say about his complaint, but he said to all of us, when you have good teacher, all of you takes very easy care, good care of good teacher. But it is not so easy to take care of not good teacher. But when you see not good teacher, but this is your teacher, if so, you have to take good care of not good teacher. If you want to receive Dhamma transmission from the Buddhas and Maha Kashyapa anywhere from generation to generation, you have to take care of good teacher and bad teacher anywhere with true heart. But usually we don't do it. So that's why he says, fine as rice powder, cold as icy frost above here, right now, because it blocks off heaven and earth and goes beyond light and dark. Observe it where it is low and there is extra. Observe it where it is low means if you see your life in terms of human eyes, well, Buddha is far from us. We are always present in the low level anyway. So we always feel inferior complex. Don't you think so? If you see Buddha's ancestors, and then Buddha's ancestors' behaviors and practice are completely far from us, sometimes we feel that their practice have nothing to do with our practice. But he here says, observe it where it's low and there is extra. Extra means Buddha. Okay. Buddha means your total personality, beyond your senses, beyond your judgment evaluations. Anyway, there is something more than your evaluation. Even though you think you are present in low level, far from the Buddhas, but Buddha is exactly within you, both exactly there. Or he says, level it off where it's high and there is not enough. If so, we should believe that always we are Buddha. So that time we are Buddha. But even the Buddha, there is something cannot do. There is something that even the Buddha cannot do anything. Okay. For instance, when winter comes, even the Buddha cannot do anything for the winter. So winter is exactly winter. Winter is Buddha. We are Buddha. So more concretely speaking, okay? When you do gassho exactly, when you really merge of doing gassho or doing zazen, so-called samadhi. In other words, one finger here, nothing around one finger. Who knows? Who knows this one finger? If there is some senses, so-called I can know this finger, at that time it means that there is something else around the finger, even slightly. But only one thing exactly exists. Nothing around, one thing. Who knows? We don't know. If you do the same exactly in the samadhi, who knows? We don't know. Even the Buddha doesn't know. It is called Buddha. Okay? If you do the thing exactly in the samadhi, we call Buddha. But who knows? Who Buddha knows? Buddha knows Buddha. That's it. We can say. But who knows? Who is Buddha? We don't know. So, that's why he says, level it off where it's high and there is not enough. There is, even a Buddha cannot do anything at all. Okay? So this is real practice, real practice. We have to do. The holding fast and letting go both exist. Anyway, both exist. Holding on, holding fast and letting go. Where? Right now, right here. That is a little difficult practice for us. Okay? When you do gassho in the samadhi, there is always two things exist. Holding fast and letting go. In the favorable conditions, you can hold it, but you have to digest it and digest it as smoothly, as soon as possible, without making water stagnant at all, anyway. And even in unfavorable circumstances, anyway, we cannot stay with it. So, that means idealistically, through your head, any sense of evaluation, judgment, human value, that would make sense for us. For instance, if I do zazen, and then if I evaluate the practice I have made, then naturally there is a evaluation, sense of evaluation comes out. So call my practice zazen is good or bad. But that means already I slip off from real reality. Because I cannot give up living. That means living, exactly. Day by day to live, to continuation of living every day. We cannot stop living continually from day to day, beyond favorable or unfavorable circumstances. So this is reality. So the real question is, even though we judge ourselves, good or bad, right or wrong, finally we have to go beyond the judgment, and then we cannot help taking one step farther. Anyway, we have to do something anyway. In other words, we have to continue to live. That is terminal station we can reach after evaluating and judging and the thinking of our life, always going zigzagging, and finally, where are you going? What is the station you have to reach? That is a terminal station. Terminal station is just do it. Just live. So, holding them fast and letting go means you cannot hold, you cannot always letting go means you cannot ignore the object you can see. So you have to see. That means holding up fast. But on the other hand, you cannot stay with the object you can see. So you have to digest it. So that means letting go. So very naturally, the many things coming from the outside, external world to you, and sometimes you are completely kicked out by external world. Whatever it is, all you have to do is to practice both, holding fast and letting go. Then this case, where have you, in this case, I think the Tanxia said, did the person who brought you the food to eat have eyes or not? The monk was speechless. So means, what is the use of giving the giving food to such a person like you, like this monk? Giver, the donors. Do you think this donor has his own eye to see receiver whether he deserves to receive the food or not? Okay. Well, at one point, according to the Buddhist world, all sentient beings are interconnected. And also, that means we are always embraced by others. We are allowed to live by all sentient beings. We never live by ourselves. If so, we offer the food, it's pretty good, because helping others. Regardless whether he deserves to receive this food or not, anyway, it is pretty good practice according to Buddha's teaching, because all sentient beings are Buddha. So this is one point. So we believe everyone can deserve to receive the food. But on the other hand, do you really think so? We should consider whether we can deserve to receive the food. At that time, I think there is nobody who believes that I can deserve to receive the food. So very naturally, we cannot receive the food. If someone gives you the food, that person doesn't have eyes to see me or you exactly in the true sense. So very naturally, if we receive the food, we feel guilty. What do you do? Whichever we make a choice. No answer. If you don't eat, it's very clear that you will have to die. So very naturally, beyond your sense, beyond your the theory of eating, okay? We have to eat anyway. So the fact which you have to eat is something more than beyond your senses, beyond your theory. beyond the logical understanding whether you should accept the food or not. If so, what is important for us? We should think ourselves in terms of usual sense of human value, or in the usual sense of evaluation, moral sense, ethical sense? No. If you judge, no question, no answer coming up. No answer. There is absolutely no answer. But even the no answer, you cannot stop eating. If you stop eating, it is very clear that you have to starve to death. If so, question is, how to eat? This is a question. Right now, right here, how do you eat in the real reality, right now, right here? To eat to live, or to eat to make money? To eat to make money. Or to eat to live, or to eat to make money, or to get the fame, or etc. Whatever you say, it doesn't get the mark. So all you have to do is to eat with whom? With you, and also with all sentient beings. In other words, you have to eat with very deep aspiration. Okay? That is called vow. Living together anywhere through the eat, when you move in the deep course of eating, okay? We have to eat with very profound aspiration of walking with the people in peace and harmony from now on toward the future. Helping each other and try to live in peace and harmony from now on toward the future. Okay. At that time, to eat makes real sense as a human being. But usually, if we eat, always we eat just to eat. Or we eat for sake of what? Always for sake of accomplishing individual task, for the sake of satisfying individual desire. That's it. But that practice is always going in the small world, so-called individualism, separate from all other beings. But practically speaking, within the real reality, there are many beings interconnected, interpenetrated. We know pretty well. If so, beyond our judgment, evaluation of eating and eating, okay? Anyway, we have to eat. There is some way to eat. Not in individual world, but in real reality, where all sentient beings really live in peace and harmony. So, very naturally, we have to eat with very profound aspiration, so-called vow, of walking in peace and harmony, hand in hand, forever, anyway. Helping each other, building up the peaceful world, anyway, forever, under all circumstances. This is a vow. This is the human profound desire, human desire coming from your heart. No one forced you to do this. Okay? You should have this profound aspiration, so-called vow. If you don't understand it, anyway, we have to do it every day. Like I said, that's why we chant the sutra, Meal Sutra. Okay? That's why chanting this Meal Sutra is very important. So it is the Chan Chen asked a Pao Fu to give someone food to eat is ample liquidator of the debt of kindness. Okay? Means we can help. If you offer the food to others, to the Buddha, it's very ample liquidator. Okay? Liquidator. Okay?
Requital
of the debt of kindness. Okay, this is one point. That's why wouldn't he have eyes? So everyone has eyes enough to offer the food as a Buddhist practice. So from this point, we can receive the food in terms of Buddha's teaching anyway. We can deserve to receive. But when you receive the food, very naturally, food is taken care of by individual prejudice. That's why how to eat is very important. To move in the deep course of eating is important, not the judgment of eating. After eating or in the course of eating, okay? Anyway, to eat is very important. How do you eat? So next he says, who said giver and receiver are both blind? Blind means emptiness. Okay. Giver and receiver. In terms of Buddha's eye, you know, giver and receivers are very pure. Anyway, Buddha. So it's not necessary to discuss. It's not necessary we feel guilty strongly, or we shouldn't be infatuated with receiving the food. We shouldn't be infatuated with the proud of ourselves, which we deserve to receive the food. It's not necessary. On the other hand, it's not necessary to feel guilty because we are not enough mature. We are not mature enough to receive. Okay? So anyway, complete beyond this discussions. Anyway, giver and receivers are both. Anyway, blind means emptiness, very pure. Giver, receiver, and food. And then Chan Chin said, if they exhausted their activity, would they still turn out blind? To exhaust their activity means to exhaust the activity of receiver, the activity of giver, to exhaust activity of giver and receiver. In other words, receivers just deceive with profound aspiration of walking in hand in hand with all sentient beings. In other words, completely become one with the eating, anyway, with all sentient beings. At that time, we can be in samadhi. Our eating is right in the middle of samadhi. This is called emptiness. Samadhi is emptiness. If you are right in the middle of samadhi, can we call us samadhi? No. No samadhi. That's why he says, would they still turn out blind? So, completely no blind, no emptiness. If you are right in the middle of emptiness, there is no perception of emptiness because your body and the mind are exactly emptiness. So that means, that's why he says, if they exhausted their activity, would they still turn out blind? Who said, can you say that I am blind? Now, who said already, okay? Who said, if you really becomes right in the middle of samadhi of eating, okay, it's not necessary to say we are in samadhi. So no perception of samadhi. And then who said, if so, can you say that I am in samadhi? Because exactly in samadhi. Can we say? No. But this is nothing to say. But anyway, who said, can you say that I am blind? In other words, we always say, who knows? Who knows is already words coming up from that real reality. Who knows? If you are in samadhi, who knows that we are in samadhi? Nothing? If nothing, we are in samadhi, can we say? Nothing? If we are nothing, can we say we are in samadhi? Because if we are in samadhi, nothing to say. So nothing to say. It means, can we say we are in samadhi? No, nothing to say. If you are in samadhi, if so, can we say we are in samadhi? Continue, we say so. Do you understand? That means exactly there is, that's why this is a not evaluation, judgment of eating, judgment of our, not the matter of judging our practice, okay? Good or bad, right or wrong. Anyway, important point is, how do you eat right now, right here, day by day, from moment to moment, how you are eating? That's it. But if you start to discuss, you always start to discuss like this. I am eating exactly right in the middle of samadhi or not. Or we should consider whether we deserve to receive the food or not. We have to think of it. But this is a thinking, appreciation we have to express. We have to express in a word like this. But not real things, real practice is not in the word. Anyway, you have to real practice. You have to really move in the deep cause of eating. That's all you can do. Then, from that deep, profound practice, many words coming up. I think this is maybe last of a lecture on Wednesday using this broken record. And I want to stop anyway. Next year, for the next year, I would like to use another text. But still the 24th
cases left. So I think in the next year, sometimes I want to use the book record during session sometimes. Okay. But on the regular lecture on Wednesday, I would like to use another textbook. Okay. So this is the last. Okay. Do you have a question?
It seems that the samadhi, as you describe it, is not only beyond thought, it's beyond experience.
Yes, that's right. That's true.
Experience means pure experience, anyway. You have to be there, exactly. And then, there is experience, simultaneously.
Unreflected experience, which cannot see itself. So there's no way to distinguish that from
no.
being sleepy or
no.
spaced out. Or
no.
Right.
It's very clear. Mind is very clear.
The only reason I can imagine why we would practice that is authenticity.
Mm-hmm. And we have to also transmit to the next generation that practice. We have to transmit that practice anyway to the next generation. We have to practice it 8 days and then transmit it. This is our responsibility.
Maybe you said explain it, but I maybe not understood. What you said is that why people live is beyond conception, and people have to decide how they live. Is that what you said?
I don't mean the conception is not necessary. I don't mean conceptions are important for us. But anyway, but you cannot take care of your life only by means of conception. Mm-hmm. Because everyday life is always moving and alive and changing constantly, interconnected with all sentient beings. So even one thing you can pick up and think of it and evaluate it, but there's still you don't know what it is finally. So that means you don't, whatever it is, you don't know exactly because it is alive. So your object and you yourself as a subject, both alive anyway, from moment to moment. That's why to live is very important. But on the other hand, thoughts, perception comes from this living, from your whole body and mind, which is moving and alive from day to day. So, perception from where the perception comes. So perceptions are part of your existence. So they are important. But we need anyway a time to digest enough those perceptions. Penetrating, until it becomes a whole energy. Okay, perception is a kind of food anyway for us. But you can eat the food, but you have to digest it and concentrate, and until it becomes energy, life energy. Do you Is that clear?
Well, maybe my question is, I just don't know that when you said beyond conception was...
Beyond conception means that you have to understand the conception, concept of kindness and compassion, whatever, okay? Mm-hmm. But still, through the conception or through the idea, we don't understand what real kindness or compassion is. Mm-hmm. So very naturally, you have to practice it. Through sharing your life with people, and then you can learn. With your whole body and mind, what kindness is, what compassion is. Do you understand? That is called go beyond. But on the other end, we cannot ignore the understanding, perception of kindness and compassion through the book, through the teaching, anyway. So we have to understand it. But it's not good enough. That is called go beyond. Is that okay? Oh, you want to know a new text?
Yes.
But I don't know yet, but I am thinking one idea. I have a few ideas, but one idea is I want to use a text of a sutra we are using every day. For instance, Prajnaparamita, and also Mio Sutra, lots of sutra we use. So, little by little, I want to study those sutra we use every day. Okay? That is one idea.
Would you consider using a text from Western literature or from Western background?
Oh, what do you mean?
I'm not exactly sure, but I was just wondering if you would consider using a text that wasn't of the traditional Buddhist literature canon.
You know, using that sutra we use is very traditional sutra translated into English already. That's
the question I think my friend is asking is, would you be willing to use a book that is not a Buddhist book, a book from another tradition, but to explain Buddhist points of view? That was the question.
Another book. And then explaining in terms of Buddhism. Oh, that's pretty, one of the good ideas.
French book.
Mm-hmm. Do you have some idea? Kind of little baiting. If you have some idea, please let me know. Okay?